Blog Talk.
Hello, everybody.
I like it.
Hello, everybody. This is Jesse, James, and Tyler. We're back again for the Order 2020 podcast. We've got a pretty exciting show for you. I feel like we had a lot to make up for the last couple of podcasts, but we actually have a Star Wars play to win tonight with some extra goodies in between. But first and foremost, I know James just, we were having a little conversation, him, myself, and Tyler, and about his enthusiastic ramen noodle meal there.
That was delicious.
James,
it's delicious, but I definitely burned my tongue.
So are you going to be able to taste, you know, the podcast later, or are you going to be struggling? And
like, no, you're going to hear a lot of lip smacking noises and... You know, it's going to sound sexual, but it's kind of not.
I did not sign up to be part of like some sort of like dirty ASMR tonight. Okay,
You are.
You're here. You're here, so you are qualified.
Well, we'll see how long I stay.
Yeah, I know, right? You might have stayed longer than you would think, there, Tyler. You never know. So we actually got some cool stuff going on. You know, Tyler actually did some research on some of these movies that we have for Star Wars, and then of course James has his Mandalorian that he wanted to bring into the show that not a lot of people are talking about. I think in some podcast lists is dedicated to it, so we have our own two cents on it, which is pretty cool. And then of course he wants to have his few minutes of ranting for episode 8. So
yes,
first and foremost,
Can I ask, is this rant going to lean in favor or against whether or not this movie was good?
I hate episode 8 so much.
Okay, continue.
So now that we have you know, we have a little bit of the hate there, which, you know, Yoda would just disadvise, I think, against the hatred there. But James is fuming. We can feel the force there. Have another Order 66 waiting in the wings. But, yeah, so we got some really cool stuff. First and foremost, we definitely want to say thank you all for listening and subscribing to the podcast. Tonight, of course, is a makeup show for the Star Wars. May the 4th be with you. We felt like after we talked a couple times in previous podcasts that we really owed Star Wars its own, you know, show and topics that we could talk about. So we actually have a few ideas. We actually have one thing, too, that we'll do later on in the show. And it's a pretty cool but funny topic because we actually came to an agreement that it's going to be kind of an impossible task, but we'll bring it up later. So we'll definitely kick it off and we'll hit it off. James, Mandalorian, let's hit it. Tell us all about it.
All right. So for anyone that's living underneath a rock, The Mandalorian is a new Star Wars series premiered on Disney Plus, and it takes place about 25 years after the original trilogy, but before the new trilogy. I'm sorry, other way around. It's about 5 years after Return of the Jedi and 25 years before the new trilogy. And it follows a single Mandalorian bounty hunter and his adventures through space. The beginning kind of gets you set up with the universe and the primary characters. And the reason I like it so much is it's not very hard to follow. So if you're not a diehard Star Wars fan, you can still follow the series really well, because it really just follows about two main characters, and you have about three, four reoccurring main characters. It's really not hard to follow or understand at all or get into. My wife actually, she is not a diehard Star Wars fan at all, but she ended up binging the entire 8 episodes of season 1 in about like a day and a half. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's very engaging, and the best part about it, it's not a whole lot of talking. There's really not a whole lot of talking. It's very visual. very visual and very, the story itself is very just, it's a touching story. You know, it's the Mandalorian's a bounty hunter, ruthless bounty hunter, you know, first episode, he's shooting people. Oh yeah. Yeah. He's super badass. You know, my favorite line is, I think one of his first lines is he's come across this guy he's trying to take in dead or alive, and he goes, I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold. And it's absolutely hilarious. He's just, you know, you can't see any of his facial features because he's hidden by the Mandalorian mask, the helmet, which he's forbidden to take off. So it's a very cool, like a Clint Eastwood type of feel to it. He finds a small child that he just originally he was sent to capture and deliver to some pretty nefarious looking guys. I mean, super creepy dudes. And he ends up, you know, he ends up getting this, this feeling like, maybe I shouldn't turn over a small toddler to a bunch of imperial maniacs that looks like they want to eat him. So the rest of the season one is mainly about his efforts in protecting the child when now there's like all sorts of bounty hunters after him trying to capture it, you know. And the art, the storytelling, the costumes, all grade A. The characters, you know, they're all very, very well put together. It's definitely one of my favorite parts of this year. And hats off to Jon Favreau for making all of this when he was apparently working on Lion King, and then he just came up with this idea and started sketching it out.
So, right.
You know, hats off to him.
Well, not only
for,
that,
coming
but,
up with all this.
This is also coming from a guy who was on Waterboy as a middle linebacker, specking kickers' butts all around. So definitely hats off for him. Who would have known somebody like that would have probably endured the amount of things that he's had to actually go through as an actor to get to his, you know, ultimate goal, and that was this right here, you know, which is awesome.
You know what's funny? I did not realize he was happy in the Avengers movies. Like, I kind of knew, I was like, huh, he looks familiar, but I didn't know that was actually him until I actually came across the name earlier. I was like, wait, what? So,
yeah, he wrote himself in, which was pretty funny. But you know,
he's a great character. He's hilarious, Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I loved him in that. But, you know, someone else is also in The Mandalorian, which is pretty cool. John Wayne's grandson is actually he's actually the stunt guy for Mando. Yep.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So he's a little bit of badass to it because you've got John Wayne, his genes behind the Mandalorian. So it kind of makes you feel like, yeah, this is cool. All right.
That's kind of cool.
So a little too soon, so I did a little homework on that. But, I mean, aside from it personally, James, you know, with everything that's gone on in all the episodes and, of course, with his armor being made during the season two, which was really cool, what was one of your favorite moments in the show?
You know what, really, and this is a personal preference. It was the fourth episode, I think, when he goes to Sorgan, which is the forest planet where, you know, there's it's one of the planets. He encounters Cara Dune, and I love Cara Dune because Gina Carano is just a total badass. Gina Carano plays this ex-mercenary, and Gina Carano, as a background, is a former MMA fighter. And I've seen the other stuff that she did. They weren't like super, you know, they weren't super great productions, but it was still pretty solid. I definitely like the other movie she was in, where she got to showcase how her badass fighting abilities. But that was one of my favorite episodes. I mean, there was a moment in time where, you know, this is the fourth episode. You've obviously had time to adjust and go, oh, hey, you know, I really, you know, this child, this baby Yoda character is actually really freaking adorable, and you want him to survive, and you want, you know, the Mandalorian to be like, yes, he's going to take care of him forever. But they came to a crisis point where he was just like, look, man, I'm a bounty hunter. Now all these bounty hunters are after me. you know, I need to leave the child safe with somebody. And then you really think he's going to leave him. But then, of course, you know, that's the plot catches up with him, and you know, he has to take the child with him. And that was one of my favorite episodes. It made me get really excited about the show, I think, when I first watched it.
Yeah, you know, that was one of my favorite episodes too, especially in the fight scene. And then he's like, "You want to get a drink?" You know, just the Star Wars humor behind it was pretty clever in itself with the actual writing and the show, which is pretty awesome. So, Tyler, I know you probably watched it too. Did you have any favorite moments in the show?
I want to play that.
I think he died.
Blue. I think his phone
Tyler,
was cut out or something.
Oh. I think he dropped.
Here, I think.
Yeah, I think he dropped.
I think he did drop.
Okay, here. If he calls in,
we'll get him back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, what was your favorite moment?
Yes, my favorite moment. If my phone alarm doesn't keep going off, my favorite moment in the whole show was probably.
Tyler, are you back with us?
Yes.
Okay, there you are.
Okay, cool. but my favorite part in the show was actually when he did meet up and had that big fight scene to get the baby Yoda into the actual, you know, of the Mando. So I thought that was pretty cool. But Tyler, what was your favorite part, Tyler, in the Mandalorian? If you get a chance to see it there.
Mandalorian in the show?
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen the Mandalorian in it all yet.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go ahead and kick you off this call now.
You already did.
Okay, so I now I feel a little bit less bad about being long-winded about my explanation of the show, because now apparently one of the hosts has not seen The Mandalorian. You know,
I don't even need to watch it now because I know the ending.
No, there's no ending. It's still going on. There's a season two coming out in October. Season two is coming out in October, and I'm even more excited.
A John Wayne's son or a grandson is back in that season two as well as the stuntman. So looks like we just edumacated Tyler in some Mandalorian there.
I mean, it's still worth watching. I mean, honestly, it's. You know, I'd be more concerned about spoiler alerts for this show. But honestly, it's not so much. There's not a whole lot of spoilers because the central plot is very, very simple. It's, you know, the Mandalorian protecting Baby Yoda, and he just goes through. You know, every episode is a different attempt by somebody, whether it's other bounty hunters or you know the people that hired Mandalorian in the first place to capture the child. I mean, it's him surviving a bunch of different scenarios. So really at the end of season eight, the end of season eight is no different. It's no different of a ending of an episode. It's not like exactly a series finale. In fact, when we finished watching it, I was like, when is episode nine coming out? And then I was like, which made me really impressed.
Actually
but,
is
you know,
it's, one of those shows where if you're not a big Star Wars fan, you can actually get into it. You don't have to really know the Star Wars universe. I mean, it helps in some instances, but it definitely builds and builds and builds in every episode. To me, every episode gets better, and you're kind of like, man, I wish it was longer than 45 minutes. Because you're not used to Star Wars shows. You're used to Star Wars movies, you know?
I have no doubt that I will enjoy The Mandalorian. I just haven't been in the best position to be watching new things as of late. I haven't even had a chance to watch Solar Opposites, and Rick and Morty is one of my favorite series of all time. You know how upset I am that I haven't even watched Solar Opposites yet? So yes, rag on me, shit on me, make me feel bad. It's fine, I already feel bad enough, you assholes.
So Tyler was actually, for a little while, he was using his tired, sexy voice. Now he's using his aggravated, whiny voice.
I've just been sitting here building up heat, okay?
So, all right, so aside from everything else, too, I guess we normally kick off the show like this, too, but... James, how was your weekend? Did you have anything cool, anything you know, I want to say erotic going on because of our conversation before the show, but anything unusual?
Oh, yeah. I probably shouldn't get into it because it's going to lead me on a rant, but I actually got scammed by a car salesman. Scammed.
I think didn't you like scam one like a couple weeks ago? I think I remember you saying
it wasn't exactly
like
scam. I just it was a power negotiation move, but this one was a straight up scam.
he got you back. Is it the same guy?
No, it was not the same guy. It's in fact, you know, I was in the market to get a truck because my old car got totaled back in March. So I've been in the market for a new car, and you know, my wife just got a new car. So, you know, it's been a process this last, you know, whole month. But yeah, he actually scammed me, and he got me pretty good. I feel like a, you know, in fact, I can't even be mad at the dude because I just basically, you know, I kind of had a feeling something was wrong. But yeah, I just totally walked into that one without even researching it further, and I'm more pissed at myself than anything else. But yeah, it was an ordeal, and we finally got a resolve today.
Wow!
If you want me to rant about it, I'll rant about it. You got to give me about 4 minutes of hard time, though.
I mean, I feel the pain for you there, bro. Like, you know, I know that not a lot of people like to go through that stuff. I know I got scammed one time too, and bought a warranty because my grandpa told me, whatever you do when you buy a car, get a really good warranty. When I bought the warranty, it was like $3,000 on top.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the car I bought was from a Toyota dealership. Well, it's a Volkswagen, so they didn't have any of the parts ever.
Yep.
Able to cover the warranty.
Yep. That's the issue.
So,
well, yeah. You know, yeah. It's similar thing happened, except, you know, he did the forced warranty scam. I realized that I found out this on the internet, but it's where he tells you, hey, I can get you a lower APR if you buy the extended warranty and the gap protection from us. And in my mind, I'm like, what does that have to do with the APR? But he's, you know, he's sitting there, he's slick talking me. He's like, well, you know, when you buy a used car, especially if you buy a car, you know, for at this level trim, you know, he's you know, the bank wants to know that their asset is being protected. So that, you know, of course you need the gap, you know, which is true of the gap insurance, obviously. But I was like, okay, well, I guess the warranty would keep it in nice shape. I get, you know, and at that point in time, I was like, all right, well, lower APR sounds great. And, yeah, that's how he got me the first time. And then come to find out that the low APR of 4.96 at 84 months was not actually a real rate. He tried to yo-yo me back into the dealership, which is called the spot sale scam, to get me a higher APR. Because he, you know, at that point in time, I've been driving it for a couple of days, and I've really liked the car. He was counting on me and really loving the car to come back and go, oh, you know what? Okay, yeah, the deal, you know, okay, a new APR at a little higher rate. That's not so bad. It's already too much of a hassle. I already showed all my friends and family, and you know, packed the car up all nice and such, you know. So yeah, he ended up getting me on that one, but I figured out what he was doing and ended up going straight to the general manager. Been dealing with the general manager all this morning.
Yeah, so good thing you dealt with that APR because it almost turned into an RAP there.
Yeah, for real.
So
I was like,
bad. So Tyler,
but yeah, anyway, that was my weekend.
You had an extensively exciting weekend, my friend.
arguing with salesmen is not exciting. It's just it gave me high blood pressure.
I bet it did. Tyler's just like, oh, you know, I had lunch with the king and dinner with the queen.
That's what I do every weekend.
They're like, oh, yeah, I was selling a car and I scammed a bunch of people.
No, we grilled out on Saturday for a buddy's birthday, played some slip and flip, you know, that old redneck style hose in the yard, slip and slide, into flip cup, because, you know, we're rednecks.
Right. Did you make a TikTok video?
No, but I do have myself sliding in slow motion going down the mountain.
Oh, well, there you go.
So my God.
Anything for the gram.
Who here has TikTok?
I do not. I refuse.
I refuse.
I absolutely refuse. My best
friend
and his wife.
I do have one.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because everybody wants to see you sitting at the dispatcher's desk.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, but you know, really, though, it's because I love to watch, like, other people's stuff, you know? Like, there's some people who have, like, really funny things on there, and then there's some things that are just kind of, like, egregious, like, oh, my God, why would you do that, you know?
Jesse's a fan of living vicariously through other people.
My best friend and his wife are, like, completely obsessed with it, and... You know, they're on TikTok all the time, so I just rely on them to show me what's funny. I'll trust their judgment.
You might get a link that, you know, I sent or I send over to somebody, and it's usually, you know, pretty funny or it's just really stupid. But most of the time, I can guarantee if y'all get one from me, it'll be pretty funny because it's I don't want to waste a lot of people's time. But there's a couple of them that are just so well done that it's just I feel like the world should know, you know.
All right, man. Well, if we get one and it's not funny, I'm cutting you off.
I remember that. So,
we're talking a little bit about... What?
Oh, yeah. Tyler's like, I just ignore all this stuff. Yeah. Until like, Friday or Saturday when I'll call or text, I'll be like, all right, y'all, podcast is coming up here, you know. So, aside from all that, you know, we've had some pretty cool Star Wars stuff. You know, it's happened in the last few years. We finally got to finish the great saga that they had. You know, we also got to see how Rey is the way she is and where she came from. And, of course, where the Star Wars saga left the legacy of the Skywalkers. James, this is your opportunity. What was it that got you so... And try and make it short, because I'm going to ask you a couple more questions about it. But what was it that made you so irate with Episode 8?
Okay. So I'm just going to preface a spoiler alert in case anyone hasn't seen it, Tyler.
I've seen all the movies, damn it.
Okay. To sum up the new saga, okay? To sum up the new saga, it was a tease. This whole thing was just a gigantic tease. It started out with The Force Awakens, which was basically a modern-day remake, A New Hope. I mean, just it followed
right.
The same exact thing. You got some new characters, because obviously it's way, way, way into the future. But it was basically the same thing. Now, granted, when I went to go see it on opening night, I was very excited. And when I walked out, I was like, you know what? I was not old enough to watch A New Hope when it first came out back in the day, because I was not born yet. But I had excitement seeing it, and I was excited to see where it was going to go. And then they came out with Episode 8, which I don't even know the name of it because I didn't even bother learning it. Rise of Skywalker. Wait, was it?
Yep.
The middle one? Oh, okay. Well.
Oh, no, the, I'm sorry. That was
no,
9.
No,
my
that's
bad,
not it.
9.
Yeah, 9 was
The Last
yeah.
Skywalker.
Whatever.
Or Last Jedi.
Whatever. Whatever. The Last Jedi or whatever it was. And when we go watch it, it did not feel like it was a Star Wars movie anymore. It felt like it was some sort of recreatement of Star Wars. It was like a Disney, like, you know, they just crammed so much political, everything about it was pointless. Everything. I can't even, what was the point
Thank
of
you.
Having Benicio del Toro
Thank
in
you.
It? You had Benicio
no,
del Toro
I,
in it.
I,
as,
you,
as,
you can
as,
literally, you can literally remove I, that entire movie
what?
And the whole trilogy for the new saga
exactly
makes sense.
I,
no.
Okay, the most important thing was
Star Trek
okay. Rey finds Luke. You know, Rey finds Luke. Okay, cool, cool beans. All right, great, cool. She doesn't learn anything new. She learns to sit there and meditate. Okay, how about throwing in some lightsabers there, man? Like you have two.
Yeah.
Two Jedis, presumably the last Jedis, if we're to take the title into any value, And he doesn't teach her anything about anything. You know, he's like, okay, you sit on this rock and figure out if you're evil or good. Oh, shit. Oh, you know what? You might be evil. I'm out of here. Okay, well, what was the point of that? Right? Like, all right. Okay, let's say that, you know.
On top of that, though, let's build on that there, because I do have those questions, you know, for you for that. You know, yes, I see where the entire saga, the new saga, was a buildup of anticipation. It was, I guess it was just giving the Star Wars fans blue balls, really, I mean, if you think about it, because every single episode, or I'm sorry, an episode, but every single, you know, movie that came out, we were one step closer to trying to figure out who Rey was, because we all had our theories. Was she Obi-Wan's? You know, was she Luke's? Was she a Skywalker? You know, was she just a nobody? You know, but and then ultimately became the ultimate somebody, as far as, you know, Darth Sidious, the spoiler alert there, but, you know, for Darth Sidious and being, you know, his descendant. Now, the thing that really made you angry about the whole fact, was it the build-up of the anticipation of who she was, or was it just the feeling that the entire new saga was basically quote unquote history repeating itself?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think it was a massive money grab. Like I mean, don't get me wrong. Like if you take it away from the Star Wars universe and you look at it objectively, the trilogy by itself is an okay trilogy. But if we're talking about the overall, all major films for the Star Wars universe, these were a travesty. These were worse than one,
absolutely
two,
terrible.
And three. They were just a travesty. And like, I mean, it was a joke. It was an absolute garbage joke. It wasn't even like we were bamboozled. It was like. Oh God, I hate them.
Do you think people? Do you think people wrote it off because it was Star Wars and it was the ending of the whole saga?
Mm-hmm.
And so even like with the first one that came out, we're like, oh, this is the same as the original one that came out. But you know what? History repeats itself, so we'll let that one slide because, you know, blah 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 blah, because history repeating itself. Do you feel like that was one of the reasons why, or people are just excited that Star Wars is back out? I mean, what do you think, James?
You know, honestly, I agree. It was a huge money grab because everybody was excited that Star Wars is coming out. I mean, look at everything that's being put out into TV and movies lately. It's a lot of rehashed ideas or remade series or movies to kind of feed off of the nostalgia of our generation, you know? And, you know, okay, so you had the opportunity to make one more trilogy to complete the Star Wars universe, as it was said. And they decided they're just going to go, you know, they decided they're just going to have a bunch of stuff in the movies that didn't lead to anywhere. And one thing that I was particularly, you know, one thing I was particularly upset about was that nothing in The Last Jedi was really resolved in Rise of Skywalker, because okay, cool, you find out that Rey is not a Skywalker and she's not a Kenobi or she's not a whatever, you know, but you didn't get to see her explore the Sith side. You know what I mean? Like, you had that one scene where everybody was so excited, you know, and this was after the disaster that was Last Jedi, the year after, where right before Rise of Skywalker came out. You had that really awesome badass scene where she's holding the Sith lightsaber that turns into a double lightsaber. And I was super excited about that. I was like, you know what? That gave kind of indication. Okay, now, you know, the Sith has returned. There's something to do with the Sith, and she might go into the dark side and explore that, because, you know, it was exciting. You know, now who's gonna stop her? Is it going to be Kylo?
Yeah, not only that, but when they kind of hinted and said that they were going to come out with, you know, the Sith, or at least they kind of hinted that Darth Sidious was coming back, I was cool with it, because it made me feel like, hey, this is going to be so cool just to be able to see what it is that they're going to do to change this whole story, you know. But it,
I don't know.
In the essence, they really didn't do much.
They didn't.
I felt like Tarsius was a huge cop-out.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, okay, you know what? I was excited for it because it was just kind of like, oh, man, how are they going to write him back in? How are they going to write him back in? Like, did he, you know, the last time you saw him, he got fried up and he got thrown off of the Death Star. Okay, well, you never actually see him, you know, die, so to speak. So is it possible that he, you know, explored some sort of Sith powers to, you know, disappear into the Force like Yoda and then materialize a body?
Right.
Back, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much that
well,
was
he did say... He did say, and I guess they kind of, they don't really hint at it, I think, and some of the fan, you know, the fan-made stuff is actually so much better, you know, I think. In
oh, yeah.
Instances. But the fan version actually explains a little bit better in the mere fact of, you know, he was in the scene with Anakin Skywalker before he became Darth Vader, and he said, you know, I can teach you this power and, you know, teach you how to live and prevent those that you love the most from dying. I truly believe that he did, in essence, he did have that power. He just didn't want to share it because the Sith is always selfish. They're always about themselves. They're not, you know, they're self-centered. They're not about the people. They're not loving in any, you know, essence of the word. So, you know, I think he had that power and the naiveness of the Skywalkers, they thought they had finally defeated the ultimate evil, but generally what happened was it just took a long time for him to come back and try and rebuild the soul into a body, kind of like a Voldemort type situation with Harry Potter, you know. So but for last question on this, and then we'll get to Tyler's topic there, which do you think had the biggest ending flop to the entirety of its series in the last year to 2 years? Game of Thrones or Star Wars?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. Like, Star Wars, the new trilogy isn't great. It isn't great, but I'm still glad it was made, whereas with Game of Thrones, that ending was so bad that I've actually told people, don't even waste your time watching it.
Yeah.
For people who haven't watched it, I tell them, don't even watch it.
I will say this. I believe that George Lucas, when he made 1, 2, and 3, he honestly did not intend for it to be as bad as the fans say it is. And I think it's because he tried to depict it in the manner that he wanted his characters to be depicted, but at the same time, it ended up being what seemed to be a money grabber. Now, I believe Disney did the same thing, but do you believe, and I just to ask a question, these three movies, I don't believe any of them were directed by the same director.
No, they weren't.
In that essence, do you feel like that is one of the biggest reasons why so many people have a problem with these movies?
If you're talking about these three, two of them were directed by the same director.
Were they directed in a row with the same director in Seth's split?
I mean, yeah, not wholly, obviously. I mean, you're talking, but J.J. Abrams had his hands in 7 and in 9, but 8 was completely done by Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I really think that the first one, J.J. Abrams, was so concerned about his ability to be able to capture the magic of Star Wars and putting it into a fan-made version that would not harm itself, that he was too careful, and it became the Star Wars that we know it as, the remake of A New Hope. And then the second time, he was like, you know what? It's going out with a big bang. Ray is this, Ray is blah, blah, blah. But I have to feel like I have to spend the first hour and a half tying my story in from whatever, you know, this guy over here did, and versus letting one person take the reins of all three and concluding the whole saga.
Well,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is kind of like a lot having to do with what the question we were talking about before was, and when the question that we were talking about all nine of the movies in comparison, like, how does this trilogy compare to what George Lucas was doing? And when you take them, even with what George Lucas was doing, honestly, the only ones in the entire series that are kind of worth their salt are the first three that were ever released, not the ones that are 1, 2, and 3. I don't know about you guys, but that's kind of how I feel about all of them. I pretty much only spend my time on 4, 5, and 6.
Do you think that George Lucas, in his creativity, just kind of got out of hand and he may have been a little over the top since 1977 to, 1989? I mean, because if you look at it, the originals were perfect. I mean, they were awesome. And then he came out, he tried to change them. You know, he started coming out with these mini, movie edits, on VHS and everything. And he tried, hey, let me add this really cool scene here. Hey, let me add this scene where, Jabba the Hutt talks to Han Solo, by the Millennium Falcon. Do you think that he just kind of lost it a little bit?
I think he let the fans dictate too much.
Yeah.
I think after the first three movies, when they started doing 1, 2, and 3, I think he started allowing, Hollywood fans start to dictate how they directed the films too much. Whereas the original three, they were kind of like underground. Like, people were like, oh, this is new. This is original. This is something that we haven't seen before. And so they had 100% independence reign. It's like, this is, they didn't really have to try and taper, but then they felt like when they did the new ones, they had to appeal.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So in closing for episode, for the whole thing for James there for Star Wars, James, if you could go back and watch all the movies, is that one particular episode in the saga the one that stands out the most for you as far as the quality or the lack of quality?
You said which one is, to me, is the most lack of quality?
Right. Compared to 8,
which one was the most lack of quality?
Yeah. If any of them could top 8,
and
which one would it be?
I used to say 1 was stupid. I used to say 1 was absolutely just worthless and stupid. You might as well go ahead and skip it. But after, after the last decade of watching, watching it, because I am a stickler for completing the entire series, after watching it a couple times, I've actually grown to appreciate the second trilogy, episodes 1, 2, and 3. But if we're gonna have to pick a next runner up for the worst Star Wars movie, it'd probably be 1.
Yeah, I think 1 is definitely on there for sure. Tyler, how do you feel about it?
I think 1's fair, but I probably hate 1 as much as I hate 3. I think the CGI was just like really destroyed 3 for me. Like, there was just so much of it.
It was way over the top, but you know what? I'm happy to have been able to see an actual lightsaber fight in a movie at least once. Because clearly we did not see any of it. We didn't see any of that. We didn't see anything that even matched the choreography of 3 in any of the new series. In fact, it was just basically a street fight.
Yeah. I will say that 8 did have a pretty cool Star Wars battle scene between Kylo Ren, what's his name that was training him or trying to train him or something?
Snoke.
Oh, man. Snoke.
And then, of course,
Rey. That one scene was pretty cool, but made it cooler is the fact that the fans came out with their own version with Queen as the music behind it. That was awesome.
Yeah, it. See, I, you know what? Like, you mentioned that fight with Kylo Ren and Rey in the Snoke's chambers, and honestly, like, you know, yeah, that was a cool scene, but I think anything good about 8 has just been blocked out of my mind, because every time somebody goes, oh yeah, you know what, that was pretty good, I'd have to counter it with, well, hang on, what was the point of everything that led up to that exact moment, though? Like,
yeah, that's true. I mean, sometimes one big scene can make the difference, you know what I mean? Like, for some people.
You had so much buildup in the Force Awakens with Snoke, and you're like, oh man, he's really creepy looking, and you had this air of mystery around him, because there was a lot of going, hey, I think he's a giant, or I think he's like some kind of weird creature that isn't normal size, because of course they had
at one point we thought he was Samuel L. Jackson. We didn't know who he was, So
yeah.
I mean, it was
nuts. Like, you had so much build up to it, and then you finally meet him, and Snoke gets smoked, like, within a second.
Literally.
Like, literally.
You have
the Force powers to see into the future, and you didn't see the fact that a lightsaber that was sitting right next to you was going to cut you in half. Like, what?
Right.
What?
And he was bragging. Like, the whole time he was bragging, which was great.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But
no, the continuity. Let me say this. Hats off to the last movie, though. They did what they could to try and salvage what happened with that trilogy. They did what they could to try and get it to an actual ending. It wasn't great. Wasn't the best. But I think they did. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. They tried very, very hard to try and close it up.
They did. I'm just saying, I will never forgive 8 unless somebody can answer the freaking question of what the hell was the point of hiring Benicio El Toro to show up, and what was his role? Okay? That in itself, not finding out who the hell this guy was, like, who he ended up being, that is, like, almost as disappointing as finding out that Jar Jar Binks was not going to be important to the entire series. I mean, you sat through.
You sat through episode one.
Okay, you sat through episode one, and every single time Jar Jar came on the scene, you're kind of like, huh, I wonder what his role is going to be. He can't possibly be here for comedic relief, because this is a serious film. Like,
well,
then
he saved Jabu.
Yeah, well, okay, fine, whatever. You know,
but
one could argue
credit,
that was
to your credit. To your credit, though, Naboo later on does get destroyed. So, I mean,
personally, I'm a fan of the Darth Jar Jar theory.
I was like, you know what? If Jar Jar ended up being a Sith Lord, I could totally get behind that, because that would be a total... That would just be a plot twist that everybody who watched the movie and ever shat on Jar Jar would have been hoisted by their own petard,
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Well,
and that would have been a satisfying realization. Go, hey, oh man, now I feel bad for making fun of Jar Jar, because there were the fans made the fans came up with this conspiracy theory, and it actually made a whole lot of sense. And I was like, you know what, maybe he is a Sith. That would be really cool to see.
You know what,
and
though?
It turns out,
if,
no, he was nothing.
If that would have happened, that would have been the biggest shock of the decade, aside from Donald Trump winning the presidential election.
I don't think it would have been as much of a shock as Luke, I am your father. But it still would have been nice to see some sort of development with Jar Jar, but thank God they toned down the Jar Jar for the last two movies of the first trilogy, trilogy, because I don't think I could have stood much.
Yeah, that would have been horrible.
They didn't turn him evil. They had to tone him down. If he wasn't going to be the bad guy, they had to make him to where he wasn't as, because that was the reason why they didn't turn him evil, in my opinion. I mean, that's what, especially with the theory, they definitely believe that this is what we were talking about earlier, how he tried to appeal to the masses. It's like people didn't like Jar Jar, so he's like, all right, we're going to nerf him. And instead of making him come to him. That's what happened. Jar Jar got nerfed.
Yeah.
He got nerfed
hardcore. And you know what the sad thing was? Is that if he was going to do Jar Jar like that, if he had the idea of the trilogy in mind when he made it, I don't think – if he did not have Jar Jar in it, I think I would have enjoyed one a lot more and a lot sooner, because it wasn't until I watched it a lot of times to really understand, okay, so these are the intricacies of behind the Galactic Trade Federation that really led up to the conflict where you get to see – you know, where you saw the Clone Wars and then eventually became, you know, the Empire. All, you know, it – to see all that, to see all that background, you know, like it's supposed to be, the prequel, you know, was actually pretty interesting. And of course, I love Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. That was his dry humor is hilarious. So I think I would have enjoyed it a lot sooner if Jar Jar wasn't in it. So that's why I'm saying that Jar Jar was kind of a pointless character. That, you know, I agree. He probably had a lot more to do with him if he didn't get fucking nerfed. But again, like I said, until somebody could explain to me what the hell Benicio del Toro was doing in 8, I will never forgive The Last Jedi.
At this point, you sound like one of those flat earthers who's like, if someone can show me the evidence that we made it to space, then I'll say the Earth is round.
I am more willing to believe any theory of flat Earth more than I am to believe that Benicio del Toro had any point in being in any of these movies. What the hell? Do you know how much he's not a fly by night freaking actor?
James.
They paid him money to be in this. They continue to pay him money to be in that. What was the point of that?
Well, James, the reason why is because he was in between Sons of Anarchy and Star Wars. So there you go.
I'm just saying.
This is James being hopped up on ramen noodle.
I'm so angry. This is so frustrating.
He's so offended right now. The time he spent
doing Last Jedi, he could have been making another Sicario movie. Okay, like.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway,
that's true. All right, so the passionate James Lee, everybody, you gotta love him, especially when he has his buffalo. A chicken flavor ramen noodle, he said. So he needed that ramp right there. So Tyler, we already know we went through the whole Star Wars thing. Pretty much, I feel like we went through Back to the Future and back there with the whole story. But with your versions that you've had to look into, was the difference between the Lucasfilms and pretty much what we could say fan made, or just the Hollywood made that is not involved with George Lucas? Tell us a little bit about that.
About the difference between what ended up being the travesty that is the last three trilogies and the first big thing by George Lucas.
Yeah. So, in your opinion, was the Lucasfilms made better and like lifted up, or were they watered down by the in between movies like Rogue One and Solo?
I'm not.
Did you not watch those either?
I'm trying to find the correct words to not insult the original films, because you know what? I'm gonna get to you back. I swear to God, I'm gonna get to you. I would say that the original three are pretty much untouched. But these films definitely didn't help the entire saga. Not at all. I would say that it really was, at the end of the day, just kind of a cash grab. I think anybody who was expecting these films to truly make the saga much better had to realize that they stopped making these films for the sake of the film a long time ago. And it was all about fans. And a lot of the times fans really don't know what they want.
That's true.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, we see that. But as far as the movies go, I thought, honestly, I really thought that the making of Rogue One was perfect. I thought that that actually tied the movies in very well done. And in my sense, to me, honestly, my personal opinion, I think Rogue One is the best Star Wars film ever made that is not considered part of the saga, that should be considered part of the saga. What do you think about that, Tyler?
You just said you think that was the best one ever made?
Of any of
like
the Star
independent
Wars
movie. Independent movie. Not trilogy related. Yeah.
Well, I'll throw it in as the fact that it should be considered part of the trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it?
I'll
it's kind
you.
Of like a, I mean, it's kind of that in between the pre epilogue this, I don't know how to call it.
I mean, I would say yes.
Okay.
I am a little upset that we didn't, you know, I wanted to see how all the Bothans died to get the Death Star plans, like she said in A New Hope. But really didn't see a whole lot of Bothans.
James is pulling out all the works, bro. he's bringing
guys,
everything.
I'm telling you.
Like, you know what?
I'm telling
Del Toro
you.
Should have been in there. You know, I want to know more about the Fets. What happened to those motherfuckers?
Look, man.
You know,
I'm
why,
saying, man. I,
what
I,
happened?
I,
whatever happened to the Ewoks? You know, they're like the most beloved character, you know, creatures, and then all of a sudden they just disappeared. You know, so James is pulling
well,
it off. You know what? I think
space
if we ever had George. Space quality. Let me say this. If we ever had the ability to have one-on-ones with George Lucas, I would put James on the other side of the table because I think it would be hilarious to see what it is that he would want to ask George Lucas.
Who the hell do you think you are? No, I'm
kidding. What were you thinking when you hired Del Toro?
I'm just saying. Paid money for this guy.
I mean, literally, you know? But, all right, so Tyler, aside from everything else that you saw with the making of these movies for the fan-made ones, do you think that, really, honestly, they're going to come out with another one that's going to try and attach another Star Wars saga together? Do you hear anything or see anything about that?
Have I heard anything? No. Do I think they will? Oh, pff, it's Hollywood, man. They're not gonna.
Yeah.
If they see money in it, they're not gonna stop. It doesn't matter how much we care, or if people keep buying it, they're gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I think so. I think that
we're still
gonna
keep watching them.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, I think they're trying to be competitive because they see Harry Potter. You know, and they know that it's coming back out again, and they're trying
is
to
it?
Find some way to be. Oh yeah. They've already got the roles. They've already got the scripts that are being written, and I think the actual filming should be starting next year.
Is
but,
it a show or is it a movie?
The original cast. It's the original cast.
The show? Is it like?
It's another
is it
movie.
Like their kids' story?
No, it's the movies. They're adults now. Yep.
Oh.
So basically, what's going on is Tolkien is writing another. Is writing another series for Harry Potter as a grown-up. And so in that series, they've agreed to bring her in.
I think he means Rowling.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Rowling, my bad.
Yeah.
That was a huge error. But yeah, so Rowling has agreed to come in and help be a part of the crew and write the actual story for this movie. So it's going to be pretty
that's kinda cool.
Pretty interesting. Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. So
it's
like
a
George R. R.
Martin.
Yeah, it's like a George R. R. Martin version for you know, Game of Thrones fans, if you will, for the Harry Potter sequel. So I think that's one of the reasons why Disney is so trying to find the biggest thing they can think of that can combat that fantasy world, and what better than Star Wars, because we know eventually superhero movies are going to just, they're going to fade away. You know, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's starting to wear out.
Did you
know,
think superhero movies are going to fade away?
No, not completely, but I think the fad is going to wear off because it's going to be the same tired. And you could kind of see that how it is right now. It's you got a bunch of titles coming out, but the hype is not the same as it was, you know, 2008 when Iron Man came out. You know, I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. I feel like they're going to have to, you know, like I said earlier, everything nowadays is just kind of like a remake of good ideas that were brought up in our generation growing up. And they're moving through one of them one by one. You know, we had the Star Trek movie remakes, where it was an entirely new parallel universe. And then you have, you know, Star Wars, and you have, of course you have like the Avengers, and, you know, now apparently there's Harry Potter, which I learned just now. So that's, you know,
yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty busy next 5 to 7 years, but they're going to have some pretty solid content too. Yeah, but you know, I think Jurassic Park is eventually going to fade away in the next.
I think it already has. I mean, like, you know, when the first Jurassic World came out, that was pretty awesome. But then the second one came out, it was just kind of like, eh, you know, it wasn't like, oh, hey, look, these are the iconic dinosaurs. These are, you know, they're just making shit up now.
Yeah.
Indoraptor.
I mean, but you know what? You know what's funny, though? What's really funny, though, James Tyler, is this. That we are actually making fun of, in a world where we said there's no originality, we're making fun of originality.
That's true.
What are you talking about?
I made fun of the Indoraptor.
Yeah. How everything.
Well, I'm not saying that was a bad thing.
That we have is a remake.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. That's not by any means criticism
it's
of it. It's actually really cool to see, because, you know, when I was freaking 8 years old, I would never have thought I'd get to see Iron Man live. You know, like live action. You know what I mean? Like, especially in that kind of quality. You know, the most
the
we had
thing
is
for Del Toro in a Star Wars movie too.
Oh yeah, well, God. Somebody explain why. I need to know.
But yeah, Tyler, what we were saying was basically how we as a society make fun of the fact of there is no originality anymore. So everything, all the movies are pretty much remakes of an old movie that came out years and years and years ago, and how James was just making light, and we both were making fun of the fact of a film of Jurassic Park that is completely original. It's not been made like this before. It's an original film within itself, and so it's just the irony of it, you know. It was what we were talking about, was just how funny that is, how we can turn on each other so quickly, and turn on Del Toro so quickly as well.
You're trying to get into too deep a philosophical debate tonight, man. I'm sorry. I can't go down the rabbit hole with you two. I can't do it.
Tyler's like, look, I've been sitting back, relaxing. I did my homework. I'm chill. You know, I didn't get scammed by anybody.
If you want to talk about how everything is an imitation, we're gonna get real depressing real quick. I promise you.
Well, let's go.
We have 2 minutes. We have 90 seconds, guys.
90 seconds left in the show. Can we fill a philosophical question here? Let's see. Tyler, favorite thing about Star Wars?
What? That's not a philosophical question. I can't
summarize
Star Wars in 90
seconds. Lightsabers.
Yep, that's a summarization of that's the best you're going to get in 90 seconds. Lightsabers.
Or X-Wing. All right,
so James,
for me.
James, let me, X-Wing, I was going to say X-Wing. All right, ready? Hot guy draft. James, who are you taking first round?
For Star Wars.
I don't.
You know what? I don't even know. Rey kind of looks like a dude. I'll choose her.
Oh, ouch, Tyler.
What? I don't even know what the question is.
Hot guy draft for Star Wars characters. Who are you taking?
Hot guy draft for Star Wars.
Oh, you know
Wars
what, Mandalorian? Thing? I'm sorry, Pedro Pascal. That mustache is banging.
Oh,
sorry.
I'll go with his decision, or Yoda.
Trust my
there you go, Yoda. That was fun. I was gonna go with Baby Yoda. But you know, the funny thing is, we all talked about this last week, was that really there is no hot guys in the Star Wars series.
Yeah, we did.
But you know, If we ever got any backlash from the fandom, it would be Han Solo, I think, would be the hot guy. Well, that or Obi-Wan and Ewan McGregor, you know. Even Allie McGinnis did it well for a little while. But there it is. There it is, y'all. Hope y'all enjoyed everything. Thank you for listening to us on the rise here for the Order 2020. And hopefully y'all join us again next week where we bring back some more fun info. Look for us. Subscribe on Apple iTunes. Also on any Android user phone. You can download apps on there and get your podcasts there as well. Or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/theorder2020. Hope you enjoyed this. This has been Jesse, James, and Tyler. Thank y'all, and see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.